Hey mama, you're listening to the Supernatural Childbirth Mamas podcast. This is a place where we want to encourage you, edify you by bringing together moms who have experienced a supernatural childbirth. All of us got our journey on this started by reading a book called Supernatural Childbirth by Jackie Mize. It was a book written in the 1980s, but it is still impacting moms today. The fact that we are no longer under the curse of the law because of Jesus Christ, we're under the blessings of the law. So one of those curses was pain in childbirth, and we can be free from that. So us moms have come together. We've believed for that in our own births. We're bringing other moms in so you can hear those stories and hear those testimonies and be encouraged. That's why we're here. If you have a similar story, reach out to us. We would love to have you on the podcast. We also have a Facebook group. Be sure to search in groups for Supernatural Childbirth Mamas. We're there. It's a community of hundreds of women who are there to encourage each other, lift each other up, pray for each other. It's been amazing getting to know all of you. In the future, we're hoping to have more small group settings of either trainings in faith and trainings as for being a mom, or just group settings where we pray together. We're working towards that, and we're looking for leaders. If you have it in your heart to lead other women in this way, let us know. Reach out to us. If you search in the Facebook group, there's actually a form to fill out. So can't wait to dive into today's podcast. All right. Welcome, Supernatural Childbirth Mamas. We are here today with a very special guest, Scotland, who just had her baby 5 weeks ago. She reached out and wanted to share while everything was just fresh in her mind, heart, soul, and spirit. And so I'm so excited to have her on the podcast today. Scotland, are you there?
I am. Thank you so much for having me, Jana. This is such a blessing.
Oh, I'm so excited for you to share today. So I wanted to really quickly pray for you and then just let you take it away and share whatever's on your heart today. So, Father, I just thank you for Scotland and for her sweet baby, and I thank you for this story and just for your goodness and for everything that you have to give to the moms that are listening today. I ask you, Lord, that you would just be with Scotland. Holy Spirit, as she opens her mouth, fill it with the words that would just encourage and bless and help her to remember every single little detail of this story, Father, and every just part of her journey and who you've made her to be and who she is. I just ask you, Lord, that you would just anoint this time, anoint her words. If there's any nervousness or just any of that anxiety, we just tell it to go now. In Jesus' name, we thank you just for perfect clarity, just for peace in this time. And we thank you, Lord, that you're here and you are just touching every mom that's listening today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Jana. Right. Thank you for that sweet prayer.
Yes, please. I can't wait to hear everything. Tell us everything, wherever you want to start.
So I do want to say I'm so excited to be here, especially as a first-time mom, because, you know, so many of the positive birth stories that I had listened to, because I listened to so many through your podcasts and other podcasts, and so many of them were second-time, third-time moms, or just women that had experience and had previously known birth and labor. And it was kind of rare to find a story where it was a first-time mom. So I'm really glad that I get to share my specifically positive supernatural birth story as a first-time mom, so that other first-time moms, you know, that were in the same situation that I was in, that maybe aren't sure that they can do it, that they can, because mm-hmm. I did it and God blessed me with this amazing story.
I like that you said that. That's so good.
Yeah. So to give a little bit of backstory, my husband and I got married in April of 2021, and kids were something that we had obviously discussed, as every couple should before marriage, but it wasn't like the immediate plan. They weren't on the horizon, I guess you could say. He was happy to have kids at any time, but I was definitely held back by fear. I was afraid to raise kids in a world that, you know, in this world, and I was afraid to bring in a soul into this world where they may not choose to follow Christ. And this was a fear that I had held on to pretty much as a young teen. But within that first year of our marriage, you know, God really began to transform my heart and remove this fear. And, you know, the world is bad right now, but to me, God told me that that's all the more reason to raise disciples and to bring this light into the world that is so desperately needed right now. You know, we're not called to live in fear. And by that autumn, I think it was roughly that autumn of our first year in marriage, I just like had this drastic change of heart that seemed to happen less than a week. It wasn't gradual. It just happened pretty fast, where God just totally put a new desire on it. I had the desire to have kids, and I was just like a new person in a way because of that desire. Yeah. I didn't have the fear. I mean, you know, I still have, you know, normal mom fear, especially now, but you know, depending on Christ makes a huge difference in all of this. And my husband was obviously on board. And by the time I think it was, I had stopped birth control at that time, like pretty much right away. And by June or July the next year, my son was conceived. And yeah, so it was a pretty, you know, from the start, I would consider that a supernatural experience because he changed my heart, and it was super cool. And I praise him for that, because now I have a beautiful son that is my entire world. And, you know, you have this whole joy that you didn't even know you could have. So that was amazing. So I don't entirely remember how I was introduced to the concept of like a pain-free or a supernatural birth. It was definitely not something that I have heard of before. I was under the typical impression of, oh, you know, birth is the most painful thing you can go through as a woman. And, you know, what I do want to say something really fast about that, about the fear and the stigma behind birth. I really, ever since coming across, you know, the idea of a pain-free supernatural birth and thinking about how birth is just the stigma behind it and how it's seen as this traumatic, terrible thing, I see it as, you know, Satan really orchestrates this fear behind birth. And I think that's something from the enemy and his doing, you know, with Hollywood, which we have seen, which we know is greatly influenced by the enemy already. It portrays birth as traumatic. All the movies we see where women are screaming in pain are fed to us since we're little kids. And then I think like the demonization of pregnancy paves way for abortion. So of course the enemy would attack birth. Birth is, it's holy and sacred, and it's the first job that God gave man and woman, which is to be fruitful and multiply. And mothers are one of God's most important designs. You know, it's our biblical role. You know, we're created to raise disciples, really. And motherhood and parenthood are pretty much a sanctification process. I mean, I've never been more reliant on Christ as I have since I became a mom 5 weeks ago. And if, you know, if women are afraid of pregnancy and birth, then less children, you know, these gifts from God, they're not going to be brought into the world. And fear isn't something of God. It drives us away from him. Fear and faith cannot coexist. And, you know, because of all these reasons, I totally see why the devil would attack this. And I just think it's really important to acknowledge that, because it is a really big thing. And I totally understand why the enemy would want to attack this, because it is sacred.
That's so good.
So any fear that someone may have around birth, just, it's not from God, it's not his spirit. Just I rebuke that. That's what I've been doing for the past 9 months. Anyway, so back to my actual pregnancy. I was saying I don't recall the moment that I was introduced to the idea of a pain-free supernatural birth, and that it was possible and that it did happen. But I'm pretty sure that I was within the first month, my first month of being pregnant, I was on Instagram and I found several pages talking about it. And I know your guys's page is one of it. Karen Welton's Pain-Free Birth was another one. Pain-Free Childbirth by, I think, by Nissa? Andrews. These are all really great pages. And from there on, after coming across those pages, I just read and listened to testimonies. I read Jackie Mizey's book. I never did buy like a birth course class, because Karen Welton, she does have one, but I did listen to her free like master class, and that was great. She just really focuses on talking about fear, acknowledging it, and just not allowing it to take control of you and take control of your body, and just knowing how birth works, you know, the biology of it and everything. And that's super important. But for most of my pregnancy, I just worked on trusting in God and removing any fear that I had. There was this one verse that I really, really meditated on, which was, it was 2 Timothy 1:7, I believe, which is, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but a power, but of power, love, and self-discipline," or, and it's power, love, of self-discipline, or it's also, or a sound mind. And anytime I would start to feel fear creep in, I would just recite this verse. So I would be reciting this verse multiple times a day. I would wake up at night and I would be starting to get like this doubt or this fear, and I would recite this verse. And I really do think that made all the difference in just trusting in God and training my heart to, you know, believe his scripture and get rid of this fear, because it wasn't anything that was from him. And then, oh, if you remember, I remember I did DM you, Jana, asking for advice at the beginning of my pregnancy of how to believe in this type of birth without like support from immediate loved ones or with like their doubt being present. And, you know, it's not that my belief or trust in God relied on what they believe, because our faith in Christ's provisions, they shouldn't waver on what others think. But of course, it can be difficult when your main support group is doubtful for something that you are striving for or trusting in. My husband, at first, when I introduced this idea to him, he was unsure. But the more I spoke to him about it and the more I personally studied it and I told him about physiological birth and the scripture behind it and that we're not under the curse anymore, you know, he followed me into it. And my other main support was my mom. And I had briefly mentioned it to her. And she was just like, okay, don't build, expect, you know, don't expect anything that may not happen. Don't have high expectations, which I do agree with to an extent, because I really didn't want to treat God like my genie in a bottle or like the candy machine, this machine in the sky that people say. I didn't want him to, I didn't want to look at it as him asking him to spare me from the pain of birth kind of thing. I knew that if he had other plans or a different path for me that would still glorify him, then that's his will. I just ultimately wanted to bring glory to him through my birth, and I wanted to be a testimony of his good work through this, because birth is a good thing and I wanted to show his goodness through it. And that's why I'm here talking. So obviously he did do that for me. So, and all of that aside, at the time, rural part of Louisiana, on a base, my husband was military at the time, and the only option that insurance covered near me was to birth at the hospital on base, since there really wasn't anything else around. And it was just deeply important to me to not birth in a hospital, because hospitals are, they're a good place to give birth if you want or if you need interventions. I didn't want or need interventions. Many hospitals and the medical world has made pregnancy basically, you know, they see it as a disease or they see birth as a medical emergency. And I just want to be able to labor in peace and labor how I wanted. And God was so, so good, because in the end, I was able to birth in a setting that I wanted, which was a birth center. And so for my first and second trimester, I was under the care of OBs on base, but by that time I hit my third trimester, the Lord had moved us to Arizona, which is where I moved my prenatal care to a birth center here. And I actually believe that the birth center here is the only midwife run or ran, center in the state.
Wow.
It was actually super cool. And that was just another huge blessing that the Lord gave us, because to be able to birth where I wanted, that was absolutely amazing. Yeah. I'm so appreciative of that.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it was. So for my pregnancy itself, it was beautiful. I was so blessed to have it be manageable with really no complications or difficult symptoms. I mean, in my first trimester, I did deal with like nausea, but I never actually threw up. Thank you, Jesus, because I know so many women, they can't even keep anything down. So I'm so grateful to not have experienced that. I did experience with struggle with like food aversion, and it was difficult to find anything appetizing. But that was the hardest part of it all. My second and my third trimester were a breeze, and that was all glory to God for that as well. It is interesting, though, at, I believe, 37 weeks at my appointment, I did measure small, and the midwives decided to wait a week to see if anything had changed, if I had grown. So by the next appointment, I was still possibly considered small for, like, gestational age. I hadn't gained weight. So they asked me if I would like an ultrasound, even though I had also done a non-stress test, and he passed that with flying colors. Everything looked great. But, you know, I decided I might as well opt for one. So I did opt for an ultrasound. The center itself didn't do ultrasounds, so they needed to refer one. And I ended up going to a hospital for that, just to rule out FGR and anything, just to play it safe. And praise Jesus, because everything appeared fine. My placenta was great. They said he was over 6 pounds, which didn't mean anything to me at the time, because we know the ultrasounds are not 100% in their weight predictions. And I knew he could have been bigger or smaller. But the strange thing about this is, the doctor, not my midwife and not a provider I had ever gone to before, they wanted to schedule an induction that week. And I was like, if all is well and if there's no growth restriction, why take him out of his safe place several weeks early, especially if their excuse is, oh, he's too small? That just made really zero sense to me. And I think it was just a doctor that wanted another client to fit his schedule. And I appreciated the option, because I really am all for women giving birth and having a labor that she wants, as long as she knows the risks. But an induction in the hospital isn't something that I wanted personally. He did end up being born, since I said he was over 6 pounds, he did end up being born at like 5 pounds and 13 ounces, which is 5 pounds or 5 ounces away from what's considered low birth weight, but he was healthy and he did gain a pound in his first week. And that didn't concern me anyways, because I have tiny people that run in my family, and all of the women before me have carried small. So God has been very good through all of, even that short scare. That was good how it ended up being nothing, and I still got the birth where I wanted. So for the actual birth, the weeks coming up to it, I didn't have any signs of labor. I never experienced Braxton Hicks. I didn't lose my mucus plug or anything like coming up to it. But the day before I gave birth, I must have had labor hormones going, because I was pretty irritable that day. That night, I think around 11:30 p.m., I was in bed and I started to feel some sensations, which obviously ended up being contractions. And I told my husband, I was like, you know, my body's either getting ready and starting, or I have a really bad poop coming. And it was both. But my contractions, they were immediately consistent as soon as they started. Basically, as soon as I started, they were already 5 minutes apart. So after a few bathroom trips, I rested in bed. I was trying to sleep, but I was never able to fall asleep. I was just riding them out. They were really mellow at that time. They weren't painful. At 1:30 a.m., I timed them to see how long they were, and they were about 1 minute long and still 5 minutes apart. So at that point, I decided to call the midwife on call, and she said just to continue laying low and just riding it out. And they weren't painful, they were manageable. I wouldn't say they felt like period cramps. They were just, it was just a sensation that, you know, my body was doing something new, but I wasn't afraid of it, because God is with me, and I knew that this is something my body was designed to do. And, you know, I was telling myself that one verse that I said earlier, and I was ready for this. Mm-hmm. All because of the presence of God. I wouldn't have been able to maintain a sound mindset if I wasn't relying on him. The midwife that I called, she was great. I really enjoyed her, because it was just whoever is on call. I think by the time at 1:30, by the time I finished talking to her, I was no longer comfortable lying in bed. So I got up. I told my husband to just go ahead and stay asleep since I needed him well rested for the actual birth and when for things got more intense. So from there on, I went out and I labored in the living room, like on the birthing ball. I labored on the floor. My cat hung out with me. It was a really peaceful time because I spent a lot of time of it praying and just preparing, not just for birth, but preparing for motherhood, because I was about to enter through this, you know, transformative moment that where I wasn't going to be the same after that. And I really wanted to walk through that with, you know, hand in hand with Christ. And that was definitely a really intimate time. So at like 4:30 a.m., I called the midwife again, because at this point I needed to be on the birthing ball. I needed to be breathing through my contractions. I think I was dry heaving as well. And it still wasn't painful. It was just intense, and it took a lot of mental focus. But I would not describe it as painful, just intense. And the midwife knew that I wasn't ready to come in yet, so she suggested that I relax in the tub for a bit. And my mom was staying with us from out of state at this point, because I wanted her to be present, you know, to help me with like the first week postpartum and stuff. So I went and I decided to wake her up because I wanted someone to monitor my behavior. I told her I was handling the contractions fine and I was able to talk between them, but I just needed someone to observe when I started to switch and advance into a more active labor and I was becoming more internal. So I labored in the tub for maybe a little under an hour, and the contractions were strong, but I wasn't dreading them. I think that's really important, to not dread them and to just accept them when they come, because it's something that your body needs to be doing in order to bring you closer to meeting your baby. So after my bath, my mom was so wonderful, and she massaged my lower back on the floor, and I found it comfortable to lie on the floor holding a pillow at this point. And this did relax me so much that my contraction had slowed way down after being consistent this entire time. And at that moment, I was wondering if maybe this was a false labor because they had slowed down so much and because I was able to doze for a little bit. But after I kind of woke up again, I moved around a bit, they did become consistent again. I was still wondering if it was a false labor, but I decided just to go with it and trust it. Between, I think, this time and I think it was around like 8 a.m., I was doing the comb trick, you know, where you squeeze a comb to distract yourself or to help you to stay grounded. I just found it easiest to breathe through them. And I had a prenatal appointment at my birth center at like 9 a.m. that morning. So by 8 a.m., I called my midwife and I let her know where I was at. And she suggested I come in at the appointment time. And this was perfect timing because the next hour, I definitely became more internal and silent. I just wanted to relax and doze between the contractions, especially after being up all night. So by the time it was time to head to the car, it did take a few extra minutes, obviously, because of contractions and adrenaline and your legs shaking and everything. I actually remember I did have a massage gun on hand because I had remember reading that the vibration could be relaxing for some women. So I tried that out during a contraction, but the moment it touched me, I wanted nothing to do with it. It just fed the intensity. And I'm just mentioning these things like the comb and the gun, because I think it is important to, you know, to believe in this pain-free birth and to do it hand in hand with Christ, but to also be proactive and to prepare yourself and to have a list of these tools to help you through it. So I think women should look into these tools of what helped other women and make a list, and so they could have it on hand when they need. But obviously the main focus being just focusing on Christ through it, because he was the main thing that was getting me through this for sure. So we headed to the birth center, and then, another tool that actually people could take note for was my husband had grabbed a lollipop and I stole it from him, and that really helped for a couple of contractions. So I would recommend packing one of those because it made a difference. Another thing that actually really helped was to hold the meridian point. It's called large intestine 4, and it's on your hand, and that just really helped me continue to stay grounded through a contraction and helped me focus. And it was a way that he could connect with me through the labor, since I think having your husband be present is also a massive help. So to all the ladies, build your coping tools, build your list of these tools, and take the suggestions. Even if you don't think you would like it, I would just say have them ready to try, because you never know.
Yeah.
So we got to the birth center at 9 in the morning, and when I got there, my husband helped me to the bathroom, and I think this is where I lost my mucus plug. I'm pretty sure, but I'm not positive. So my midwife, she asked me if I would like a cervical exam, which is amazing because it was entirely up to me. And I did opt for one, but my center, when they do a cervical exam, they don't tell you where you're at. They don't tell you like your dilation, but it doesn't really matter anyways, as we know, because you can be 2 centimeters fully dilated. You can be 2 centimeters and then you can be fully dilated and having a baby within an hour, or you could be like 8 centimeters for hours. So I didn't need to know, but after she checked, I was prepared to be sent home because I was thinking, you know, I'm not that far along enough. I'm still doing great. Like, I don't feel anything. Like, this isn't terrible.
Yeah.
But after she checked, she was like, nope, you're staying here. And I was like, alrighty, okay, cool. So after that, we slowly migrated to one of the lovely birthing rooms that they have. We filled up the tub. We turned on music. We set up another tool I had was we set up the essential oil diffuser, but I turned that off within 2 minutes because the smell was too much for me.
That was so funny.
So you never know what you want when you're in
labor.
It's
very true.
I know. So in that room, I labored on the bed, on the toilet. I labored standing with my husband. I really wanted to wait to get in the tub until I really needed it, until I felt like I was getting close, because I just wanted to be able to really focus on that. I mean, I was focusing through all of this, but I wanted that to be kind of like the moment of transition. And my contractions had moved slower. So at this point, my husband was doing like counter pressure by squeezing my hips to help me cope. And then to rabbit trail for a second, it was important to me through my labor to not experience anger or lash out, because that is something that I do struggle with, anger and just like lashing out. And I really wanted to focus that I didn't experience doing that. And I didn't want to lash out to my husband during labor, because that isn't uncommon. There's so many things going on, and you have hormone peaks and spikes, and it makes sense why it happens. But I really was praying that that didn't happen, and that I was gracious through it all, that I wanted to maintain God's grace through it all. I wanted to reflect him as greatly as I imperfectly could, really. And despite any hormones I was experiencing, and because of God, I never did experience that, and I was able to maintain grace through it. And again, that's all because I was relying on him. That wouldn't have been possible, because I do tend to get angry in moments like that. And because in these intense moments, I didn't revert to what my flesh wanted me to do, because God was so present. And that was just, I'm so grateful for that.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. There was a moment where I believe I wanted him to squeeze my hips, and he did stop squeezing in the middle of a contraction to say something. And I did like death grip him, and I was like, don't take your hands off me. But I wasn't angry. I was just like, you need to not do that. But as soon as that passed, like it was fine. So I finally got in the tub after maybe an hour and a half of laboring in the room. The water was really nice, but being in the tub did limit my ability to move, but that was okay. So here I wrote out more contractions for maybe an hour or so until I started to feel a little bit pushy. And it did come on pretty sudden, because as soon as I felt pushy, my body was already pushing and I was already vocalizing through grunts like immediately.
Yeah.
my midwife, she heard my vocalization because she hadn't been in the room, and she came into the room because she heard me and she knew. And it was really nice to labor in an intimate private space without being monitored until it was time to. So I was only pushing, I was really mindful to only push when my body told me to. And even though I didn't have really much of a choice, my body just pushed on its own, even if I didn't want to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which is so amazing. Just experiencing God's design through all of this was so special.
Mm.
I was so grateful to experience a break between the contractions, not because I was suffering during them, but because they were just intense and hard work that they took focus to get through it. But again, nothing about my birth was something I would describe as suffering or negative or painful.
Mm-hmm.
It was amazing. So again, I was pushing only when I had contractions, and I had decided to be in like a squatting Kiko position where like my knees in, calves out, I think is what they call it, because that position opens up your hips. And my body didn't feel like I needed to be in a particular position. So I just decided to go with that through it all. During the stage, I would reach down and I'd check myself to see how low he was. And it was just super cool to be basically communicating with him and just trusting my body and trusting the Lord through all of this. Mm-hmm. And I was able to be present and I was able to feel where my baby was at. And that was a really cool experience.
Mm-hmm.
And the baby, he was doing amazing himself, because every time they would check his heart rate with the Doppler, he was so calm and he was doing amazing. At some point, my midwife checked. She said that my membranes had finally ruptured, but I had never felt a difference in intensity like so many women do. So I have no idea when my water actually did break. It broke at some point when I was in the tub, but you know, usually after women have their water break, things escalate and things get like that when things get painful. But for me, I don't even know when it broke.
Yeah. Wow.
There was no difference for me. So awesome. At one moment, it was awesome. At one moment, during pushing, I think when he was crowning, I remember feeling some type of pop, and I remember thinking, I wonder if I just tore. But I didn't experience any pain. I just felt the pop. And it ended up I did tear, but I only needed mild stitching. Mm-hmm. And like I said, the tear itself, it wasn't painful. The crowning itself, it wasn't comfortable. It was just like an intense stretch. But again, I wasn't miserable and I wasn't suffering from it.
Wow.
It was such a cool experience as well to experience all of that. The crowning, it was so cool. So finally at, I believe it was, like 12:03, I believe, is his head came out facing the front. I was so focused. I didn't look down. I just kept my eyes closed in concentration just to stay grounded and to stay present. And my contractions, they were never back to back. They had always been five minute breaks between them.
Hmm.
So I was just following my body and pushing when it was telling me to, he basically had to just chill half out of me and wait until another contraction came.
Wow.
So he was half out for, I think, 5 minutes. And one of my favorite parts about my birth was during those 5 minutes before he finally came out all the way, I could feel him moving around in my vaginal canal. And I mean, it wasn't comfortable on my part. It wasn't painful. It just wasn't comfortable. It was uneasy feeling. And what he was doing, my midwife was explaining this to me later, was he was rotating. So he rotated to face my right thigh and he stayed there for a moment. And then he rotated back to the center. And then he twisted again to my other thigh. And what he was trying to do was get his shoulders past my pubic bone and find the best way out to do it.
Isn't that amazing?
It is. I think that's incredible. And the instinct that we have, that God instills in us at such a young age, it's so incredible. And it's such a portrayal of intelligent design.
Wow.
That was so cool, and I'm really excited to tell him when he's older that he did so good. He did so good, and we were such a good team. So yeah, like after the 5 minutes and after he figured out his positioning, at 12:07, and he was properly in place at 12:07, and with another contraction, he was fully born. And that part was obviously amazing. The midwife caught him and immediately gave him to me, and he cried right away. And from there on out, it was amazing, and I was just so blessed to
Wow.
have such a good experience. And yeah, I'm so happy with how everything went down, and just it's all a massive glorification to God, because again, none of this would have been achieved if I hadn't involved him in any way whatsoever. So
That's so good. I love it. Wow, what a good story. I feel like even from the beginning, just saying, you didn't even want to be pregnant because of the fear, and I've heard that, even from people that I know or even from someone I'm related to actually right now, just the fear of what's happening in the world. And I love how you address that. I think that's a testimony in itself, the way the Lord changes our hearts so quickly in your case.
Absolutely.
It's amazing. It shows you that it's miraculous, and it shows you that it's supernatural how he does that.
Definitely.
That's really, really cool. So what, if you were gonna help a mom right now, like a new mom or, however many kids she's already had, like what would you tell her? Because a lot of moms are like me, like I'm like, what do I do? Like what practically, what do? I want to believe for this. Like what would you encourage them to do? And I feel like a lot of that's so private, like take it to the Lord, get alone with him, get in the word. But like, is there anything that you feel like made a huge difference specifically that you did? Like,
I would definitely say just rebuking fear, because that isn't of God, and fear can completely blind us and take hold of us. And even if you have just a seed of it, it'll grow, and our hearts are so easily deceived and distracted. And focusing on rebuking that and replacing that with God's spirit of power, love, a sound mind, self-discipline, whether that's through prayer, worship, finding scripture that you can meditate on, like the one I mentioned earlier. I think meditating on scripture is a massive help. Just spending time with God. Every time you feel that seed of doubt, or you feel that twinge of fear, immediately bring it to God. Don't let it sit. Immediately give it to God. Rebuke it. Meditate on your verses. That I think that was the main thing that really made a huge difference for me, and that's where I had to put my work into it. It wasn't just a matter of, Lord, I'm asking for this beautiful birth, but we have to put our work in, and we have to rebuke our fear if it is something that does have a hold on us. And it did have a hold on me, but with the power of God, I mean, you can absolutely overcome it. So that's something that made a huge difference for me.
So good. Thank you. That's amazing. I love how you are just so good at sharing all those details. And that is such a cool part of the story at the end with him. The fact that you had 5 minutes apart, I don't even know if I've ever heard of that. So like you said, having those resting periods between, that's really cool. And really for moms, like I wonder if that's something you could even believe for, having those little bits of breaks in between. I know for me, when I didn't have those until probably I would say transit, like I did, so we had, I have even the videos of my supernatural births, but I think that's really powerful in the way that God can give you rest in the middle of it.
Absolutely.
And I love how he turned, like that's so cool. Did you guys get a video of that?
We didn't. I
Oh
kind of
man,
regret it now, but
that would have been one of those viral ones, like the baby's still in the sack, those
oh, I
ones that always
know.
go by, like wow, look at that, look what God put in us. That's just amazing. So awesome. So if a mom, I'm gonna have you pray for the moms that are listening, and then if someone wants to reach out to you, how can they get in touch with you?
My Instagram is private, but I can still totally accept DMs. My Instagram, it's Scotland K. And yeah, I would be so happy to talk to anyone and share any more, just I would be so happy to help any women and, you know, guide them toward the Lord more.
Love it. And that's
Lyn.
Scotlyn.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay, perfect. And I'm moms, if you're listening, I'll also be posting that on our Instagram and tagging her if you want to look her up and chat. And I think part of this community, I think one of the cool, like, I don't know if you've ever heard the term Jehovah sneaky. one of my spiritual dads always said that, like, God just does little cool things that purposely just blow our mind. And like, I feel like one of the neat things about this community is that it's going to build friendships for moms, because many times in our circles, we don't have like-minded friends that would even want to believe for something like this. So let the Lord lead you to other moms in this group, and, you know, make those friendships, reach out to the moms that you feel connected to when you listen to these stories and these podcasts. I think it's a powerful thing. So thank you for that. Oh, and if you are new to this and you're listening to a podcast, we are Supernatural Childbirth Mamas on Instagram. And then we also have a group, Supernatural Childbirth Mamas. You can look that up on Facebook. So Scotlyn, would you listening? I would love that if you would do that.
Yeah, absolutely. Dear Jesus, I thank you for bringing Jana and I together today. I thank you for this platform that you have given her so that she can help bring awareness to these amazing positive birth stories that you are so present in, so that she can empower women and bring glory to you. Thank you for continuing to bless her platform through these multiple beautiful testimonies. Lord, I pray over the women listening. If they're pregnant, I ask that you give them strength to persevere through their labor. I pray they rely fully on you and that they know you as their source of strength. Help these ladies remember that you are their source, and that means that their source is limitless. Jesus, please bless these women and empower them. Instill in them your power, or your spirit of power, of love, a sound mind, and self-discipline. Allow your perfect love to cast out fear and to replace that fear with trust and faith in you, because fear has no place in our lives when we walk with you. Lord, help them face their fears and meet it with trust in you. Guard their minds and their hearts from doubts of the enemy, and give them strength to resist the devil so that he may flee. Jesus, we thank you for this absolutely incredible design you created for pregnancy and birth. And thank you for gifting us with this incredible and beautiful transformation that is made to be healing, empowering, bonding, euphoric. It's one of the most amazing gifts you have given us, Jesus. And you are so good, Lord. And we're so grateful for you. And we love you so much. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. That was so good. Thank you. Thank you. So moms, thanks for being here today. Just thanks for taking the time to listen. And I just feel compelled to speak over you. I remember what it was like believing for these things, believing for a supernatural childbirth, believing to get pregnant, believing for these things. And so I just want to declare over you that you will receive the thing that you're believing for. You will receive it, because God is good and his word is true and it doesn't fail. And he has told us that if we believe on him, if we believe on his word, that he will, it will come to pass. His word never returns void. And so if you're planting that word in your heart, it will not return void. And so every other thing is a lie. Like Scotlyn said, every other thing that comes is from the enemy and it's a lie. So if we're walking in that light and that truth and putting his word in us, his word cannot fail. So you're amazing, mamas. Thank you for being here. Thank you for listening. We can't wait to connect with you on Instagram or on Facebook. And as always, if you have a testimony to share, just reach out. I take message on my private Instagram, Jana's Organic, or you can find us Supernatural Childbirth Mamas on Instagram as well. Okay. Thank you, Scotlyn. Bless you
thank
and your
you.
Sweet baby and your husband. And thank you for being here today.
Thank you, Jana. You too.
All right. Bye.
Bye.